Our text is taken from the reading from James, specifically verses 9 through 11. I'll read those again. Let the lowly brother boast in his exalted position, and the rich in his low position, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in a society which is preoccupied with the pursuit of material possessions, which has a fixation on wealth. There is widespread focus on the stock market and general fretting that our society presently, our economy in particular, limping along, as opposed to the robust, vigorous growth at the end of the 90s. This prevalent attitude of our society can rub off on us to a certain extent. Wouldn't it be nice to choose just the right stock which will double in value in the next few years? Wouldn't it be great to have a beautiful summer house and a speedboat on the lake? Yes, it would be quite acceptable to be wealthy. Over against society's zeal for money matters stands our text. This passage from James puts into proper perspective poverty and wealth as the world defines these things. Further, our text reminds us what true wealth is. It tells us that we and all believers are both rich and poor. Another way of saying this, echoing the words of our text, is that we at the same time are exalted and low. That is, occupying a high position and a low position. How are we exalted? Why do we occupy a high position? Because we are wealthy. In fact, we are the richest people in the world. This wealth could never be gained on the stock market or from discovering a gold mine or from establishing an oil well. We have our exalted status because of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." We are rich only because Jesus Christ shed his blood, died, and arose from the dead as the world's redeemer, and because the Holy Spirit through the gospel brought us to faith in Christ. Our wealth consists, of course, in having Jesus, the priceless treasure, and in him, forgiveness of all of our sins, blessed fellowship with God as his dear children, and everlasting life. These are the greatest treasures, next to which luxury cars, earthly mansions, and blue ribbon stocks are nothing. Therefore, James has advice for, quoting from our text, the lowly brother. This is the believer who is regarded by the world as being in a lowly position because he is poor according to earthly standards. James writes, let the lowly brother boast in his exalted position. Our text reminds us that we are to seek first not a broker or a nice savings account, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our focus will not be on earthly possessions, but on Christ. You will recognize that a believer who does not have much money is not to feel inferior. Society's way of judging status is unimportant. What really counts is God's way of reckoning. And God regards the lowly brother and all believers as rich. So then, how are we also low? That is, occupying a lowly position. We have to confess that we are poor, miserable sinners. It's useless to try and sugarcoat this spiritual reality. When we are dealing with salvation, we can bring nothing to the table. A saving righteousness generated by our own works, our own efforts, that righteousness is a falsehood, a sham, a hoax. We deserve only everlasting condemnation and separation from God, and we can do absolutely nothing about that. Therefore, James has advice for the rich brother, the believer who has much money and many possessions. Let him boast in his low position. Why boast in this? Because when the believer is boasting, I am nothing, he is saying by implication, Christ is everything, and Christ has accomplished everything for my salvation. Our text reminds us that we are not to trust in the possessions and savings we do have. These can be gone in an instant. They are temporary, fading. And we certainly cannot take them with us when we die. Rather, we are to keep on trusting in Christ, our everlasting, changeless Savior. Our text encourages us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. We will remember that the believer who is wealthy, according to the world's way of thinking, is not to have a superior attitude. Again, God's way of reckoning is what counts, and he knows well how all of us are by nature. Our text, teaching us that all believers are poor, yet rich in Christ, low, but exalted in the Savior, leads us to grasp summary and additional truths. When the Christian boasts in his low position and in his high position, both times he is ultimately boasting in Jesus Christ. As Paul writes, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We also see that believers who are poor or rich in the eyes of the world are all one in the sight of God. They are truly united in Christ. This leads to the practical consideration that we are to treat all brothers and sisters in Christ alike. Our text reminds pastors especially that they are not to be unduly, improperly influenced by the financial status of the members of their congregations. James addresses all believers when he writes in the second chapter of his epistle, "But if you show partiality, you are committing sin." He gives an example of such partiality earlier in that chapter. "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Instead, in the power of Christ, let us treat all who are in the church equally as our brothers and sisters in the Lord." Our text helps to light our way through this darkened world. The passage from James steers us away from being overly concerned with financial matters and engenders in us a right spiritual perspective. All of us, in a very real sense, are poor, occupying a lowly position, whether we have $200 or $2 million in our savings account. But we are also, and this too has nothing to do with money, tremendously wealthy, having an exalted status by God's grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.